I will like to start a little early because it's the entire chapter today that I'd like to tackle for you. We have been, as I said, 2 years and one Sunday on Revelation, the book of Revelation. And we have seen things that we understood clearly and things that they are unclear to us still until one day we meet the Lord in heaven. Now, as you recall, chapter 20 ends with the awful judgment of God on unbelievers. The believers are not there any longer after verse 12, God judge the unbelievers. If you don't have the notes, just raise your hand, and they will pass you 2 pages on a bright new world. Now, chapter 21 of Revelation speaks of a real bright new world, and we're going to look into certain details according to the scripture. Number one thing that I see in verse 1 is a new creation. Look with me in Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now, the word new, nun, is there both times. And so God is saying there is a new universe. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And they give us the reason. For the first heaven and the first earth, the universe as we see it today, has passed away. Also, there was no more sea. And what a blessing is when the Bible said some things, that they are no more there. We saw a new heaven and a new earth, a new universe. And there are some things that they are no more. Number one is the old creation. They said the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. That is the old creation. I want you to go with me to the book of 2 Peter in chapter 3 of the book of 2 Peter in verse 10. And that Peter give us a glimpse ahead of what's really taking place. The Bible saith in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, you know, a thief in the night is a surprise, is that right? A thief in the night, and which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the world that they are in it will be burned up. So it is totally new and given to you an idea of the new life that we have in Christ. Spiritually, this is a great picture when we are in heaven, nothing of this life, of this sinful life in which we live today, is going to be there. Everything is going to go. Are we not happy? Are we not saying, thank you, Lord, my sins will not bother me anymore. My sins will not betray me anymore. My mind will be clear on you and completely on you, and so will be gone. And then we go to Revelation 21, and at the end of Revelation 21 said also there was no more sea. And that's a picture of no more separation from God. When you look into the oceans and you fly, we have opportunity to fly to Spain and Darlene to fly to Philippines. I'm very sure there was a long, and flying to Korea, a long fly over the ocean. And what separation is from the peninsula of Korea to us is a big ocean. And from here to Spain is a big ocean. And there will be no more separation. We're going to be together with the Lord. Nothing will separate us. So it is a new creation. It's not a reformation. It's not something that we do as a part of, is God's going to touch here and touch over there. It is completely new. Now, verse 2 speaks of a new city. Look with me in Revelation 21, verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. What is the contrast from the new city to the old city? Well, the city of Jerusalem today is a city of sin. There is sin in Jerusalem. But look at here what they say, a holy city. That indicates there will be no sin. All right? Amazing. The city of Jerusalem is there today, but it's a sinful city because we are all sinners. But in there, there will be The contrast with the old city is that there will be no sin, will be holy. And it will be a presented city coming down, said, out of heaven from God. In other words, it is a city that God has prepared for you and I. Now, this is not new in the scripture. If you go with me to 1 Corinthians, please, and chapter 2 and verse 9 of 1 Corinthians, you and I will see some hints about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, said the scripture, even has no eyes have no seen, no ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Wow. You got it? You know, when Paul was writing that, we have no idea until the year 110 when John had a revelation from God and tell us that there will be a new city prepared for God. Now look at in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 said, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that work in us. In other words, God is able to do things in a marvelous way. Look at verse 21. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And so God is able to present to us a new city. God is going to do it, no mankind. I was looking into, they sent me some pictures. What is the program that you see pictures and pictures? PowerPoint from Dubai in Arabia, in Saudi Arabia. I mean, that is architecture. You see a bridge hanging at one point on the top, you know, and it is some kind of work. You see buildings similar to one another, but back to back, and on a measure high, and unbelievable what those architects and engineers have done. But I tell you, nothing to compare to a city without sin. Nothing to compare, all right? So the city is presented by God and is a prepared city, according to verse 2. The Bible said, look at the end of verse 2, prepare as a bride adorned for her husband. You know, I don't know, in South America, if you're going to have a wedding, the groom cannot see the bride until he see her walking to the altar, all right? And boy, what an expectation, all right? He's there, and he said, I wonder what she's going to wear, how she's going to look, so on. And that's what it is. What God has prepared to us is like a groom preparing everything for the bride of Christ, which is the church. It's just amazing, amazing. So a new city with new things, all right? And I want to read for you John 14, because all of this is glimpsed through the scripture. And in John 14, verses 1 to 3, we have a glimpse of what Jesus says. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. All right? And I go to prepare a place for you. It's a prepared place. It's not just it seems to happen. All right? Look at verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It is not a place that we work for. It is not a place that we have prepared. It's a place that God prepared for us. And the only right that we have to be there is because Jesus is there. And that's what he said. No, isn't that fantastic? Right, a new city. Then verses 3 and 4 talks about a new communion. We are blessed by the presence of God. Look at verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. You remember the story of the tabernacle? It starts in Exodus there 28. With all the marvelous furnitures and all the details. And you remember the Holy of Holies? Who was there? God. Now, Only the high priest can go and present himself to God. No longer, no more. No more. In this beautiful city, the tabernacle of God will be right there with man. And in verse 4, we are blessed by the absence of grief. Look at verse 4. what they said. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And so, no sadness, no more death, no separation. That's what death really means. No sorrow and no suffering. Well, you read those four things, you say, are you sure? It looks like a dream, but it's not a dream. It's a reality. This is the place we will go. Sometimes we look to this earth too much and we lose the vision of the place we will go. We lose something that God allows us to have temporarily in our hands here, and we cry. And come on, look at the place that nobody can take away that God has prepared for us. Now, a new constitution. Look in verse 5 to 8. First is in a splendid place. Verse 5, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Again, the word new, okay? And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Verse 6, and he said to me, it is done. It is done. See? In other words, it's accomplished. It's nothing that, how the God's going to do it. It is done. It is prepared. It is something that you will get into the place. And it's a satisfying place, according to verse 6 and verse 7. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega. You know where they are? Alpha, the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega, the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So he's the beginning and the end. Is that right? The beginning and the end. Will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Look at verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my sons. In other words, it is a grace place. I wrote, there are satisfying resources. Every need supply, every desire fulfilled. No, nothing to it. Verse 7 talks about joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I'd like you to move your Bible to the book of Romans in chapter 8 of Romans, please. And look with me on verse 17, Romans 8 in verse 17. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. In other words, we are heirs. We don't have to work for it. It is done. It is accomplished. It is actually total finish. It's a satisfying relationship, according to verse 7. It says, who overcomes inherit all things, and I will be his God, and we will be his sons. In reality, now we know we are children of God, but there is a super reality. You see God and you are his children. And God is your father. And it's a safe place. Look at verse 8. Now, when we were in Mexico, the authorities were in the resort that we have, the timeshare, were very concerned with so many Americans, not for me, but for my children and Daniel and so on. So we're going to go out to the Malecón, which is in Puerto Vallarta, the heart of the city and so on. And the girls want to buy something for their boyfriends and so on. And they said, well, we're going to take two taxis. We were too many. And the guy said, hold it right there. He come. He said, your name, please, and your room, all right. Then the taxi came in, the license, the name of the taxi, the phone number, and so on. He said, how long are you going to be here? 2 hours. Okay, in 2 hours, we call you. Where are these people? You know, the scene makes things very hard, all right? This is the first time that happened to us. They want to protect us, and they want to know. They're going to call the taxi driver, make him guilty. Something happened to us. Well, the taxi driver was scared to death, and they want the business. And so they did this extra care for each one who is American. But here is a safe place. Look at verse 8. But the cowardly the unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. No sin in the area. Now look at verse 27. What is it? But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb books of life. And so it is very, very clear that it is a safe place. It's a place where sin cannot come. And so therefore, can you imagine our relationship without a sinful heart? How wonderful will be. Now, verses 11 verses 9 to 10, the scenario of the city. The city is identified in verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with seven last plagues came to me and talked with me and said, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. In other words, amazing. This angel will show all the people that will come there. I thought, what do they have? 50 inches television. They say this has all, millions and millions of people through the years, through 2,000 years. The angel will say, I show you, this is true. Well, only God can do that. He knows exactly those who are going to be saved. And so he said to John, you know what John saw is amazing. Now, John was not in a hotel room sitting watching a television. John was in Pasmos. And Pasmos was not a Puerto Vallarta. Pasmos was what? A jail. A jail. All right? And you say, well, the guy is suffering. But who got the greatest blessing in the Bible? This man. He saw the end. And God said, now look, these are all the people that that will be there. And in verse 10, the city is inspected. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out from heaven from God. Amazing. John saw it. Some people say, well, I cannot believe it. Well, I believe it because John saw it. We got the proof. All right? See, you don't believe the Bible, you lose. All right? Now, the splendor. Verses 11, 21. The city shines, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like jasper stone, clear as crystal. So it shines with the very glory of God. Can you imagine that? We have the sun in Puerto Vallarta shining every day by noontime 85. And it was bright. The Mexicans were all covered with coats because it was winter, 85. They are used to their temperature, 100 to 110, and so 85 is cold for you. And so, but you look on it, and you see in the plants, the sun, and you see in the buildings, it was shining. Imagine the shining power of the glory of God. Now, verse 12 to 14, the city has walls, according to the Bible, having the glory of God, said verse 11. Her light was like a most precious stone, like jasper stone, clear as a crystal. And now look at verse 12, 13, and 14, talks about walls. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, and three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. You know what that means? That means I don't know if it's actually physically a wall, or God is really telling us that the people that will be there will be people of the Old Testament and people of the New Testament. The people that the children of Israel witness. And remember in Exodus 12, when they have the Exodus and when they moved, there were some Arabs with them. And so the work of the 12 children of Jacob and the work of the 12 apostles are the children of those people that are going to be there, right there. Old Testament and New Testament believers, no separation, no one here and the other there, no distinction, all one. Whew, that is great. No denomination. the Baptists, the Pentecostals, the fundamentals, the independent, nothing like that. They all will be the Spirit of God move on in these people. I read it and I said, God, it has to be only in heaven. I wish this was here, but it has to be only in heaven. Now, look at the size is mentioned, verse 15 to 17. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as it is breadth. And they measure the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. It is length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its walls, 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is of an angel. And in these wonderful expressions, a size, they must have a meaning that I don't know, because the city had to be bigger than that. If you change a full law into feet, you will see it's limited. So God is perhaps is saying the perfection of a cubit. You know, a cubit is the most perfect geometric figure because every size is equal. And so God is saying that everybody who is there is equal with the other. That's what I think he's saying. But again, that's my interpretation. Don't take it for but if you translate the measure, the full law, into feet, it's just a very small city. And that's not so, because it is like a universe. Now, verses 18 to 21 speak of the substance of the city and its the value. Look at in verse 18. The construction of these walls was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like a clear glass. Now the wall is clear jasper, and the city is pure gold. And gold, which is pure, first you cannot have it because bends. And secondly, it's transparent. It's not yellow. It's transparent. And so therefore, here is a picture of the purity. We from time to time, we meet Christians like that who are transparent. You can see them in their heart. You can see them and say, well, that, I can talk to that man, and purity comes out of him. You know, there is a lot of people here, they're asking me, Pastor, we need a new deacon. And everybody points me to Brother Veloz. And so I asked one of the persons here, I said, why do you want Brother Veloz? He's a transparent man, Pastor. I hired him in my house to work, Mary told me, and he is just so clean. You know, the attraction is not to be beautiful and gorgeous, like some of us are, but you know what it is? I lost that in the accident. But you know, what is the beauty? Inside the heart. All right? Now, look at verse 19 to 20, the foundation. So I go with you. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper. Jasper is clear. It's transparent. And then the second is sapphire. Sapphire is clear blue. Then the third is chalcedony. And chalcedony is yellow green stone. The fourth is emerald. And you know, emerald, the pure emerald is green dark. Okay? If you get a light emerald, that's a farm, we call it in Colombia. But the pure emerald is dark without any sign. All right? Purity. The fifth is sardonyx. And sardonyx is white. And it has some layers of red. Then the next one is six is sardius. And sardius is fire red. The seventh is chrysolite. And that is gold yellow. Gold yellow, you know, like those racing cars. All right. The eighth is beryl. It's a sea, like the sea, you know, when the sun comes in the morning, it's green light, like this color. Topaz, which is green yellow. Chrysopos, which is golden green. And jacinth, which is an amethyst stone, which is purple. Now, these are meanings. This is not that the wall is built in this way. These are the meanings of the preciousness of the place. This place is super precious. And we take it for granted. We don't meditate so long, as I said in this morning. When we studied today, a book, I was telling my wife coming here, I preached in 1 Thessalonians 1, and it's still in my head. I said, boy, what a pure church, simple as can be. Maybe we're 20 people in that church. But boy, my wife said, how can, from Acacia in Macedonia in Greece, how can they hear? No television, no internet, no radio. You know how they hear it? The people were traveling. And those Christians, they shine. They shine. And when you have the Spirit of God and you shine, woo, that's powerful. I mean, that goes a long way. A long way. It's better than the radio. And that's the only way. And so the Bible is telling us here that in heaven, it's going to be a glorious place. Everybody will shine. Everybody will shine because of the purity of God. Verse 21 talks about the gates. Look at what they said. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And so the gates were giant pearls. You like pearls? I love pearls. I'm looking for one real to put in my tie, you know, and I just love pearls. I love that, you know. Have you seen a pure pearl on a black velvet? They would say, it will be a good ring for your wife. No, forget it. It will be something for me. It's just, you know, there are certain jewels that I really love. Like I found in Mexico my ring. All right? Okay, I don't say more. okay, for the wedding. I was dreaming with that, dreaming. And I found it, and I got it. Okay? For the 50th wedding anniversary, that's what it is. Now, here what it is. See, I took mine away. I'm single. I was single. I took mine away. It was too tight. And it was getting, so we had to take it off. And I got a good one to, on the 16th, my wife, we had the honor to put it on my finger. All right. It's just beautiful. And so I really like that. I see, we have all heavens. But when you look in the details, and this man is seeing all of this, is seeing the multitude of giants. Can you imagine walking on the street with Moses? The man, I received a PowerPoint presentation, all in Spanish. We're going to have a Spanish class, PowerPoint presentations of great people. And one of them is Moses. This is a commercial company, the powerful people of the Bible. And they presented Moses in a marvelous way, like a man who built the ark when there was no rain. Wow. See, the glory of God. Now, the superiority of the life in heaven, all right? Here is verse 22. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are it is temple. You know, remember the Old Testament? The temple was there. Nobody can go. Only once a year, they had to go into the court. And from the court, the priests go into the holy place. And once a year, the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies. Here, you don't have to do that. Why? Because the Lord and God are there. You have actual access to God without ceremony. Verse 23, it says, the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated the lamb is it is light. You remember John 8:12? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And people laugh in this world because Jesus has no light in here, except you and me. But boy, when we get to heaven, there is no sun and there is no moon. Verse 24 to 26, look at how we can approach God. And the nation of those who are saved, I like that. The nation of those who are saved, said the scripture. See, it's important to be saved. The nation of those who are saved, they don't say the nation of those who are Baptists or the nation of those who are Pentecostal. The nation of those who are saved. See, look at what they said in verse 24, shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall not be night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. In other words, You can approach God anytime you want to, because there is only light and light. There is no confession of sin, because there is no sin. And so, boy, it's not that great. There is no possibility, I was wrong here or there. There is no more doubts about it. I thought in all the things that bothered me, and I said, they are no longer there. And that is glory. And that, if you are suffering here, forget it. Look forward, Gabriel. I said, look forward, Gabriel. This is the place that God will place you. Wow. And this is not a dreaming. The man saw this, said the Bible. Now look, verse 27. No danger or dangerous people there. The Bible said, but there shall by no means enter in any thing that defileth. But there shall be none, by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's books of life. Now, the Bible clearly said in Philippians 4 and Revelation 3 that God only has the power to take people out of their names out of the book of life. This is the book that God holds you into the presence of God. And so there is no danger in that city. And it's just like utopia. It's like utopia. And it is true. And Isaiah, when you read Isaiah 53 on until 56, boy, you see a utopia of heaven. And here John is not talking about this is theology. This is reality. This is I'm witnessing to you what I'm seeing, he said. Now, still, our mind, our finite mind can really put it all together. But our heart could. And by believing, we say, Lord, even though we suffer here, even though this happened today or this happened this day or the other, Lord, one day I'm going to be there with joy. Think on the people that die in your family who were believers. We feel the sorrow of separation. But boy, I was thinking of Mrs. McCormack. You know, suddenly, out of the blue, I go to the hospital because I was visiting another hospital in Fremont. Coming here to the hospital, and I said, please, Mrs. McCormack, in the ICU unit. I said, who are you? I said, I'm the pastor. I said, pastor, 1 minute. And they called Mother Maria and came in. She said, pastor, come into this office. I said, well, what happened? He said, no, she went to be with the Lord, said the nun. What? I said, pastor, she's with the Lord. And my heart went up. You know, when you are not prepared for anything like that, you're shocked. And the only phone I have is Carla. And I called Carla, and Carla said, yeah, Pastor, I can't believe this. And called Dr. Prasad. And I said, Dr. Prasad, what in the world happened? He said, I can't do nothing, Dr. Otero. I can't do nothing. She was too far and can't do nothing. And you feel the sorrow. You feel the sorrow. But boy, Mrs. McCormack is no longer in a wheelchair. Can you see that? No longer in a wheelchair. Brother Pedro, when he gets to heaven, he will no longer in that wheelchair. Imagine all the things. You say, well, wait a minute. I'm dreaming too high? Well, dream too high, because that Revelation 21 is a high dream. When you are down in your home, open Revelation 21 and say, God, thank you. And all the little things that happen here, the losing of a car, the losing of this, it's gone. Thank you, Father, for the great lesson today. What an encouragement. What a beauty. What a challenge to our life. Lord, we confess to you, we are attached to the things of this world too much sometimes. So help us to raise our eyes. And in spite of our sufferings and difficulties of life, help us to see the place that you have prepared for us. Thank you, Father. Give us a good week, a week of hope, a week of encouragement, a week of victory, because we are your children. In Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. God bless you on the first week of 2011.